Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
My friends, today our church around the world celebrates the great feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul are the greatest of all the saints that our church has ever produced. Peter and Paul are the pillars in which our church rests upon. Yet both of these men are very flawed characters. Peter, we don't really know that much about Peter and his personal life. We do know that Peter was a fisherman, and he was somewhat successful at it since he owned his own boat. Yet Peter was not well educated. He was not a scholar. He was not trained in Jewish scripture or tradition, nor was he trained in oration, public speaking, or debate. Yet, we know that Peter was a very hard-working and honest man. Yet, he was also a very flawed character. And sacred scripture does not try and hide that at all. It reveals it to us. And I think that's important for us all. The first spiritual lesson that we can take from this great celebration of Saints Peter and Paul is that, yes, these two men, Peter and Paul, were very flawed characters, yet they did not allow their weakness or their sinfulness to prevent them from doing God's will in this world. We must do the same. We are all cut from the same cloth as Peter and Paul. We are all sinners. We all have flaws, but we should not allow those weaknesses, our sinfulness, to prevent us from doing the will of God in this world. And so Peter had his faults. And as we see it on display right after the gospel passage that we have read for this weekend, after Peter's confession of Jesus, Jesus reveals to the apostles that he must go to Jerusalem and be crucified in order to bring about the salvation of the world. Upon hearing this, Peter immediately says to Jesus, "Heaven forbid, my Lord, that you should do such a thing." Well, as soon as Jesus hears that, he immediately stops, turns on a dime, looks at Peter, and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an obstacle to my work. You see the world as human beings do, and not the way God does." Later on, at the great moment of truth, it is Peter who denies even knowing Jesus three times. How about Paul? Paul, in contrast to Peter, is very different. Paul is very well educated. From a very early age, Paul was sent to Jerusalem to study under the very famous rabbi of the time, Gamaliel. And so part of Paul's training included learning Jewish scripture as well as tradition. He also became a student of oration. He learned how to give public speeches and debate. He was taught to speak Greek fluently. He was taught to read and write. Now, during this time, Paul was turning into what we would refer to in our day and age as a religious fanatic. He had a great passion for the Jewish faith and would stop at nothing to defend it. Because of that, Paul saw Christianity as a direct threat to Judaism and therefore took it upon himself to exterminate it, literally. Go back into Acts of the Apostles, and we see that firsthand. At the stoning of Saint Stephen, it says that as the men picked up the stones to begin stoning Saint Stephen, they laid their cloaks at the feet of Paul. In some ways, Paul was standing there as if to approve of or even supervise this stoning. Later on in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, it says Paul was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house, dragging out men and women, and handing them over for imprisonment. Finally, in chapter 9, it says, Paul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord. Now these two men are deeply troubled. These would be the last two people that you would think God would call into discipleship, let alone be the two greatest saints our church has ever produced. Yet they are, and God does call them into discipleship. Why? Well, I think God looks deep within Peter and Paul, and he sees something that they both have in common, and that's the potential for great faith. And that, I think, is what we celebrate today. Yes, we celebrate St. Peter and St. Paul and all the great accomplishments that they made on behalf of God and our church in this world. But more importantly, we celebrate the great faith that they had, because it was that faith in which everything, all those great accomplishments flowed out of. For example, Peter, a man of great faith, he was the leader, our first pope, the builder of our church. Under Peter's leadership, he helped to welcome both the Gentiles as well as the Jewish converts to Christianity. Under Peter's leadership, he settled disputes, even amongst the apostles, especially disputes that could have severely fractured our early church. Paul, again, a man of great faith, was the greatest of all evangelists, evangelizing two continents, both Asia and Europe. Yet the key to their success was the fact that they had faith. Peter and Paul accomplished many, many tremendous things, and it wasn't because they were the most intelligent, the most articulate, the most flamboyant. It was because they had faith. And see, that's the message that Paul is telling us point blank in the second reading for this weekend's readings. Paul is telling us the single most important thing that we can do in our life is simply keep the faith. That's why Paul writes, I have fought the fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. For Paul, keeping the faith meant everything to him. Now realize the context in which this second reading is set in. Paul right now is in Rome, sitting in prison, awaiting his execution. He knows that he doesn't have much time left. And so he writes this letter to his young protege, Timothy, imparting his last words of wisdom upon him. And Paul says, I have fought the fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Notice now, Paul is looking back upon his life and assessing it. Yet he's not assessing it the way the world would, quantitatively, looking at all of our accomplishments and weighing them. What Paul is doing, he's assessing his life according to the way God would. Remember again, Paul was the single most successful apostle in terms of evangelization, more successful than all the apostles put together. Paul established dozens and dozens of Christian communities throughout Asia and Europe. He baptized thousands of people. He ordained hundreds of people into ministry. Yet for all these tremendous accomplishments, yet what was the most important accomplishment that Paul now boasts of? It's the fact that he kept the faith that Jesus Christ handed down to him. He did not water it down. He did not undermine it. He did not compromise it. And despite all the hardships that he, as well as Peter, went through, and they encountered many, many hardships in their ministry, they never undermined the teachings of Christ. And see, that is what Paul is most proud of. And therefore, I think that's a powerful spiritual lesson that Paul, as well as Peter, are teaching us during this great celebration. The central organizing principle in our life should be simply keeping the faith. And when we look back at our life and we evaluate it or assess it in terms of success, we should not do it according to the way the world would, quantitatively, weighing all of our accomplishments. Instead, we should evaluate or assess our life the way God would, the way Paul is doing now, Have we simply kept the faith? Have we kept the faith, not undermining it, not compromising it, not watering it down? Now, many of us go through life accomplishing good things, some maybe incredibly great things. Yet what Paul is trying to teach Timothy and now us is recognize the greatest accomplishment that we can do in our lifetime is simply keeping the faith, having fidelity to the teachings of Christ and His church. Because as long as we have kept the faith, then all the good things that we can do in this world will flow out of that faith. All the great things that God is leading us to accomplish in this world will flow from the faith that we have. My friends, if we have kept the faith, then we will be a good parent and a good spouse. If we have kept the faith, then we will be able to go out into the world and practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy and truly make a difference in people's lives. If we have kept the faith, then we truly will embody the teachings of Christ and be living examples, good role models of discipleship for people to follow. And if we have kept the faith, we will trust implicitly in the promise of salvation and eternal life. That's why Paul says right afterwards, I have kept the faith, and from now on the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord the just judge will award me, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. What Paul is now teaching Timothy and us is the fact that because Paul kept the faith, now he knows that he has a place in heaven. He knows for sure the promise of Christ, the promise of eternal life for keeping the faith will come true for him. And my friends, we must also trust implicitly in that promise. Remember John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son so that those who would believe in him might be saved. Paul recognizes that and now truly believes the crown of righteousness awaits him. Well, my friends, if we have kept the faith, then a crown of righteousness awaits us also, just like it did Peter and Paul. And see, that's why it is so important for us to truly believe that the central organizing principle in our life should be keeping the faith. Because as long as we have kept the faith, then so many good things will flow out of that faith. My friends, today our church around the world celebrates the great feast of St. Peter and Paul. These two men, yes, were flawed characters, but nonetheless, because of their faith, they were able to do incredibly great things in this world. On behalf of God and His church, we too can do the same. My friends, we too are cut from the same cloth of St. Peter and Paul. We too are sinners. We are flawed characters. Yet, because we have faith, we too can do great things in this world on behalf of God. And, like Paul, we too can say with great pride and distinction, we have kept the faith. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.